If you have not already done so, today is really the perfect day for the annual viewing of How the Grinch Stole Christmas. You'll see, I hope, how that ties into our scripture readings in a little bit. Advent is a season of waiting, and waiting is something that most people are not particularly good at. Waiting requires the virtue of patience, and that's almost always in short supply. Think about those times in your life when waiting was the hardest for you. Waiting for a child to be born, waiting for the results from medical tests, waiting for a loved one to return, waiting for a jury to return a verdict. To be in waiting is to be vulnerable, to helplessly face the reality that someone else is in control. The Jewish people at the time of Christ were waiting for the promised Messiah. And so when John the Baptist appeared and seemed to have some of the characteristics of the one they expected, they sent priests and Levites and Pharisees to ask about him. Are you the Christ? Are you Elijah, returned from heaven? Are you the prophet? They were waiting for an apocalyptic figure who would free them from the Roman occupiers and reestablish the political order that they wanted so badly. But in the end, they didn't understand John, and they rejected Jesus, because both of them didn't match their expectations. And so their waiting continues. The church has given us this season of waiting in which we anticipate the coming of Christ at the end of time and the coming of Christ at Christmas. And this is an odd sort of metaphorical waiting, since Jesus came at Christmas time some 2,000 years ago, so not really waiting for that. And although we wait his return in glory, it's not as if he isn't still here. We celebrate his presence among us when we gather as the body of Christ, the church, when we read the scriptures, which are the word of God, and when we receive his real presence in the Eucharist. Jesus Christ is here with us and among us. So what are we waiting for? Well, I think the answer may be all around us. If you think back to your childhood, think back what it was like to wait for Christmas. You would see those signs of the holidays all around you. The Christmas tree in the living room, the Christmas music that's everywhere. If you are of a certain age, the salad shooter and the chia pet would return to television sometime after Halloween. And all that points to a coming celebration, a celebration that includes candy and presents and candy and cookies and candy and visiting relatives and friends and candy and time off for school and candy. Do you remember that anticipation? I apparently especially remember the candy. This is a joyful and innocent waiting, this anticipation of Christmas. It's the excitement that you can barely contain. And so it's different from the more adult waiting that we have to do that can bring us anxiety. And the difference between those two kinds of waiting is that that joyful anticipation and eager waiting for Christmas doesn't contain a crumb of doubt that Christmas is coming, and it always does. So this Advent challenges us to wait with joy because we know Christ is coming. In fact, he is already here, and we wait with joyful anticipation for the completion of his salvific mission when God's mission is established in its fullness. On this Gaudete Sunday, with its festive and fabulous pink vestments, we rejoice with the whole church because, as Isaiah put it, I rejoice heartily in the Lord my God. He's the joy of my soul, for he has clothed me with a robe of salvation. and wrapped me in a mantle of justice, like a bridegroom adorned with a diadem, like a bride bedecked with her jewels. So we're not sitting here wondering if God's justice is assured. We're not losing hope that the poor will hear glad tidings and the brokenhearted will be healed. No, our Advent waiting is joyous because Easter has already happened. Our God has come to live with us, has bought our freedom, and feeds us at every Mass with his own divine and grace-filled body. So even when it's raining, I'm going to rejoice. When our politics are poisoned by division, I'm still going to live joyfully. When my wallet is empty and my inbox is full, I'll rejoice. St. Paul wrote this to you this morning and said, "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In all circumstances, give thanks. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." This doesn't mean that we don't feel pain. Rejoicing doesn't magically cancel out our grieving and create justice in the world. We have work to do. That's the mission Jesus gave us as his disciples, to feed the poor, heal the sick, visit the imprisoned, instruct the ignorant, to make known God's love and justice and compassion. And we can do that. We can work for justice without being swamped by injustice. We can serve the poor and reach out to the lost without dissolving into a puddle of tears, because God's victory is assured. That's why we can rejoice always. At the end of Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the Grinch is shocked to hear that despite his theft of all of their presents, decorations, and even food, the Whos down in Whoville still manage to rejoice. As he hears their singing, he even has a bit of an epiphany. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. And of course, Christmas does mean a lot more. The Whos' celebration came because they could rejoice, even in the midst of their loss and deprivation. So rejoice. Christmas is almost here. Christ is coming to you regardless of your readiness, heedless of your sins. So set aside your fears, quiet your anger, and forgive those things that dampen your joy, and rejoice always.